This afternoon, Republican North Carolina lawmakers released newly proposed congressional districts, a move that seeks to protect or expand the GOP's control of the U.S. House of Representatives. That coming up earlier today, and joining us now, who's been reviewing this situation very closely, it is Meredith College political science professor David McLennan. David, how are you?
Good, Jeff, and yourself?
I'm fine. So have you seen the new maps, and what was your first impression of them?
I have, and I think my first impression was that the Republicans are going to achieve their objectives. They have drawn a map in District 1 that makes it much more favorable to Republicans. So even if Don Davis were to run for re-election, he'd have a much more difficult path.
It looked like, in regard to Don Davis's seat, they didn't push him out of his district, but they did shift his district to slightly more Republican, and they pulled it at least more from his seat than anything else, which I guess in some ways was expected.
It was expected. I mean, their goal was to add another Republican seat to the North Carolina congressional delegation, and, you know, they had to draw some, put some Democratic-leaning precincts in another district, and they did that to Greg Murphy, but I don't think that endangers Greg Murphy all that much. So, yeah, I think the outcome, at least on paper, looks like it's favorable to getting to one more seat for Republicans in North Carolina.
Could this backfire if Democrats have a good year in 2024? Could that lead to Democrats holding Davis's seat and picking up NC3?
It's definitely possible. I mean, you know, North Carolina is a fairly evenly divided state, and so when you start trying to change the map lines, you do have to make some sacrifices. And like I said, they did make some sacrifices in Greg Murphy's district. You know, they're not prohibitive Republican districts, but they are strong, lean districts. So a wave election for Democrats could put those two districts up for grabs for Democrats. So it could backfire, and I think the Republicans are just hoping for a normal election season, and that would be favorable to them.
So is the rest of this procedure now fairly predictable as to what happens? It's going to get vetoed by Josh Stein, and then eventually his veto will be overridden?
Well, the governor does not have any say in the redistricting bills.
Right.
So it's one of those quirks about North Carolina that the governorship is so weak that the governor doesn't have any ability to affect the redistricting. So I think what's going to happen is it'll move quickly through the legislature and then probably be challenged in court. And I would say, the NAACP and Common Cause and maybe the State Democratic Party will challenge the case on a racial gerrymandering basis, because the northeastern part of the state is commonly referred to as the Black Belt, and they have changed the percentage of Black voters in the respective districts. Now, where that goes and how that moves along, I'm not sure.
That really has the potential to really draw out in courts, because various maps have been drawn over the years and have been struck down as unconstitutional. Do you think this could carry on all the way through past the midterms?
It really could. And there's so much going on. I mean, on Tuesday, the Supreme Court just heard a case out of Louisiana that has to do with racial gerrymandering. And so even the Supreme Court decision in next spring could affect a lawsuit in North Carolina. So I think there's so many moving parts in this particular case that, I think it leads to some confusion over the 2026 midterm elections. But, the Republicans are following what Texas has done in terms of redistricting to try to increase their numbers. And then, of course, in California, Democrats are trying to pick up some seats there. So I don't think North Carolina is going to be the last state that takes up the whole nature of redistricting before the midterm election.
This all spawned basically from what started in Texas earlier this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, Texas moved their bill along pretty quickly. It looks like at least could pick up to five seats. Again, the same situation happens in Texas. You know, they draw the lines a little bit differently and make the margins a little smaller. So, you know, a wave election could mean fewer than five seats in Texas. So, yeah, it started with Texas, then went to California. Mm-hmm. You know, other states are considering it, Florida, Illinois, a few other states. But I think now that both Texas and California have made their moves, well, that kind of makes it possible in a lot of states.
Yeah, it's already happened in various other states. There was talk that this could happen shortly after what happened in Texas unfolded and played out, which led to a long, drawn-out fight over the summer, and now it's happening here in North Carolina. David McClin, always great to have him on. From Merritt of College, political science professor, David has discussed this, and very happy he could talk with us today. David, thank you so much.
Good to talk with you, Jeff.